page 84. We are going to study number 3, the secularization of the Holy Temple and the captivity of the chosen people. And these two are tightly correlated because the Holy Temple become very secular. So the glory of God gradually depart from the temple. Because the divine nature cannot coexist with the nature of the world. So when the Holy Temple been filled with the nature of the world, and the glory of God will gradually depart. And when the glory of God depart, and then there is no protection of God. And when there is sin in Holy Temple, it will arouse God's anger. So, consequently, the captivity will come to the chosen people. So they are correlated. The same thing today. If the church become more spiritual, then we can see the abundance of God become more clear, and the blessing of God will overflow the church. But if the church becomes secular, no difference or not too much different from the world, and then the Holy God will gradually depart from the church, and the member in the church cannot experience too much about the grace of God. So these two are correlated. Now we come back to chapter 8, the Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. Yesterday we mentioned that the first part of chapter 8, when the Spirit of God or the hand of God touched Ezekiel, and then in spirit, Ezekiel was able to see something happened in the spiritual realm. So this is called spiritual eyesight. Especially when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, God opened our spiritual eyesight. We were able to see, we are going to have spiritual wisdom, and we were able to see a lot of things. We are able to judge a lot of judgment, make a right judgment. So without the eye opened, we will not be able to see the hidden sin or the something happened in the church spiritually. So the spiritual eyesight is quite important. And the first thing he saw, Ezekiel saw, is chapter 8. Let's see, verse 2. And I looked, and there was a likeness, like the appearance of the fire from the appearance of his waist and downwards, fire, and from his waist upwards, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. So this is the vision witnessed by Ezekiel regarding to the glory of God. And use something very tangible to describe the glory of God. But actually, when a person witnesses that vision, and that's far beyond something you can describe in this material world. Because the material world always has some kind of limit. Because our physical body is limited, and our ration is limited. Our sense is limited. So, Ezekiel saw the vision. Actually, it's something far more than what can be described by words. So he saw the glory of God again. Now, and then from chapter 8, verse 7 to 10. Seven to ten is talk about examine the spiritual sense because what is inside does not match what shown outwardly. Before we go in there, let's come back to. Let's come back to chapter 8, verse 3. And he stretched out the form of the hand and took me by the lock of my hair, and the spirit did me up and between the earth and heaven, and brought me in the vision of God to Jerusalem, to the door of north, gate of the inner court, where the gate seat of the image of Jairus was, which provokes jealousy. So he was lifted up to the city, a holy city, the inner court of the temple, and there. Ezekiel witnessed there was an idol there. Since there was an idol, so it aroused the jealousy of God. Okay, then you look into verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. Then he said to me, verse 4, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like a vision I saw in the plain. Now, so in the temple, he saw the glory of God was there, right? But at the same time, you look into verse 5, and he said to me, Son of man, lift your eye up towards the north. So I lifted my eye towards the north, and there, north of the outer gate, was the image of Jairus in the entrance. Anybody? Your translation? The Chinese translation is talk about the idol was there. How about your English translation? And you look verse 6. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commit here to make me go afar from the sanctuary. Now turn again, and you will see the greater abomination. So in chapter 8, you can see four detestable things happen in the temple of God. And all the four detestable things are related to the idol. So the temple of God supposed have the abundance of God, right? And people come here supposed to worship God. But instead, they allow the idol worshiping in the temple of God. So that aroused God's jealousy, and eventually God left his holy temple, and the captivity come. Now let's look into the Bible, talking about how many different idols according to the Old Testament. The most basic one, or most simple idol, is the idol made of made with some kind of image, right? With the wood or with the metal, that kind of idol, especially Oriental, like to worship that kind of idol. Or yesterday we mentioned in Japan, right? In the shrine, they worship ancestor, and there are a lot of idol there. This is the most common idol. And this kind of idol is very difficult to identify. And this kind of idol is very difficult, very easier to identify and very easy to destroy. What is more subtle and more difficult to detect and more difficult to remove from our heart is something spiritual, not physical. The idol. Now let's look into the Bible to see how many different kind of idol. And let's turn to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers 21 verse 8 and 9. Numbers chapter 21. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent. I set it on the pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he look at it, shall live." So God commanded Moses, as an Israelite, that whoever been bitten by the serpent of fire, if you can turn your head and look at the serpent made of bronze, and then you can be healed. So verse 9. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it onto the pole, and so it was. When the serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So this is a serpent of fire and a bronze serpent. And serpent of fire represent God's justice because they complain a lot. So God allowed the serpent to come into their camp to bite them. Right? And the serpent bite them and they will die. So this is the justice of God. However, God commanded them to make a bronze serpent. Whenever you are bitten by the serpent of fire, there's a hope, still have hope. But you have to rely on God's method so that you can have hope. What is the method? You just look at the bronze serpent. And the bronze serpent was placed on top of a pole. You only look at that, you can be saved. Of course, in a certain sense, the bronze serpent represents Jesus Christ, also mentioned in the New Testament. But later on, what happened? Right? In John chapter, 2 King chapter 18, verse 4. Second King, chapter 18, verse 4. So for it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophet of the law, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophet of this first king, second king. Chapter 18, verse 4. And he removed the high place and broken the sacred pillar, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that the Moses had made. For until those days, the chosen of the Israelite burned incense to it and call it Nebuzaradan. So you see, later on, they start to burn the incense and worship the bronze serpent. Oh, how come they worship the bronze serpent? The bronze serpent only a serpent made of bronze, right? And how come they worship it? Because when God promised, and that bronze serpent become very powerful, you only look at that, and the bronze serpent, you look at that, and you can be cured. You can receive the life. So later on, they look at the bronze serpent. They feel that bronze serpent has some magic inside. Maybe God is inside. So they start to worship the bronze serpent. So the bronze serpent become what? An image. Become an idol. So later on, they destroy the image. Destroy the idol. So what does that mean today to us? If we look into the John chapter 12, to see how Jesus Christ explained. John chapter 12, Jesus Christ talked about when he was lifted up, we can be saved, right? So salvation is coming from Jesus Christ. So the Israelite was able to survive because they look at the bronze serpent. So the bronze serpent represents the grace of God. Oh, in a certain degree, it represents the grace of God. Oh, God used the bronze serpent to convey his grace. But bronze serpent is only a channel to convey God's blessing. But the bronze serpent itself is not God himself. Oh. So what does that mean today? You know, God used different channels to convey the blessing to us, right? For example, when a minister has the abundance of God, become very powerful, right? The minister becomes the channel of God's blessing, right? So in the history of TJC, we can see quite a few of the ministers are quite powerful. Just like one of the ministers, so powerful that through him, many churches was established in from the southern part of China. Very powerful. And we have to understand that through the laying hand of the minister, the sick can be cured. Through the laying hand of the minister, the Satan can be cast out. Through the laying hand of the minister, they can receive the Holy Spirit, right? So the blessing of God channeled to the congregation through the minister. But what happened? Eventually, those who are not very careful or those who are not well-versed about the teaching of the Bible, and they look at the minister, and they idolize the minister, and they worship, not so-called bow down worship, but in their heart, they worship the minister like an idol. Oh. So today, in a certain sense, the Israelites, they took away the bronze serpent in a certain sense, has this kind of meaning. Oh. So today in the church, even a worker, can do a mighty work to benefit us. So through the work of the minister, we can receive the grace of God. But minister is nothing but a human being. All right? It's not God. So when Paul, according to the book of Acts, right, there are two important workers of God. One is Peter. In the beauty of gate, a gate of beauty, right? Peter used the name of Jesus Christ to perform the miracle, so a person was able to stood up and start to walk. Then people look at Peter. Oh, this person is so powerful. Look at Peter. And Peter said, no, do you think through my own godliness, through my own effort, I can make the person start to walk? No. The person can be walked because the name of Jesus Christ. So the Peter look, people look at Peter, it's just like what? Like look at a bronze serpent. Oh, you have no hope? You just come and Peter can cure your sickness. No. You cannot receive Holy Spirit. You just come and Peter lay hand and you can receive Holy Spirit. Oh. So everything become Peter and Peter and Peter and forget what? Peter was performed the miracle in the name of Jesus. And Peter himself knew very well, I'm nothing but a human being. I was a fisherman. I'm nothing. Oh. But today, you can be cured. You can receive Holy Spirit all because of the name of Jesus Christ. So Peter was very humble. Remind them, I'm nothing. Oh. It's because of the name of Jesus Christ. So human nature always have the nature of worshiping someone powerful, someone higher, someone very talented, including in the church. So we look at the things in two age, two sides. As a worker of God, one day you become RE teacher, right? Maybe you are very talented in giving a lesson to the student. When you get a lesson, a student likes to listen. And after a long time of this kind of things happen, then gradually the student look at you, idolize you. That is not good. We have to be very careful, especially in True Jesus Church. In other church, a lot of ministers, they act like God. You know, they talk like God. They talk like with some kind of authority by themselves. But nothing happened. Why? Because in that church, there is no God. If there is no God, you talk like God, nothing happened. But in TJC, if we work for God, unconsciously, we think, We take the position of God, sooner or later something is going to happen. Oh, so that one of the very powerful worker I just mentioned, right? Later on, he become proud and he become incensed. You know, he sent a letter to the United Nations and say, in certain day I'm going to be enthroned to become a king. So please send a representative here. People look at that. What are you talking about? Oh, right. Because he was so powerful. So unconsciously, because he was not so careful about himself, he became proud about himself, and they don't become insane. And eventually he was excommunicated from our church. So in the book of Acts, chapter 1, the first part talk about Peter, and the second part talk about Paul. You know, Paul was very powerful too, right? Peter was very powerful too. When the shadow covers some sick person, and the sick can be cured. Today, if you are sick, some ministers are walking and passing you, and all of a sudden, your sickness was cured. What is going to happen? I think human beings the same. You are going to look at the worker of God. Oh, you are very great, right? No matter what kind of problem just come to you, the problem will be gone. Oh, and this is the idol, like a serpent, bronze serpent. Oh, it's only a channel conveys God's blessing, but it's not God. If you treat the person like God, then we are creating idol in the church. So when people look at the Paul, right? He was so powerful, performed so powerful miracle. What happened? They try to bring the cow, offer the sacrifice to whom? Not to God. Offer the sacrifice to Paul. And Paul and Barnabas were so afraid. Do you know a person who fears God? No, God is here. The throne of God is here. Right? If you take yourself the position of God, sooner or later, you're going to die. So they are so fearful. They torn apart the cross and jump into them. Don't do that. We are nothing but a human being. Oh, don't do that. So the first idol we see is a bronze serpent, the channel which bring blessing to the Israel. Right now, it could be the person who work for God. This is so-called the first idol. We have to be very careful. In the church, no idol. Don't treat, consider any person higher than other person. We are all human beings. So, if you look into the Corinth, the letter in 1 Corinthians, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollo. Why? Because Paul and Apollo were very gifted workers. And that their gift benefits the church member a lot. So later on, they in their heart, they consider the gifted member higher than other worker. And it becomes idol. So since there is idol, there's a church spirit. So we have to be very careful. The temple of God should never have idol, any human being. The second idol. We are very familiar with Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. After I finish idol, I'm going to ask you how many different kind of idol. Right now, we mentioned how many different kind of idol. The first one is image made of wood, silver, metal, right? Clay, this is idol. The second idol is something in your heart. Use a worker of God who can channel the blessing and consider them, idolize them. Just like an idol of serpent, right? The idol of bronze serpent. The second idol, right? The third idol, Exodus chapter 32. Verse 4. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molded calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Okay? So this idol made of what? Made of gold, right? And they attribute that the reason they were able to come out of Egypt is because of what? This idol. Gold calf. So what does that mean today? Yes. There are several meanings. The first meaning is in our heart, in our life. We consider money is the most important. So all your mind, in your whole life, your mindset is what? I want to earn more money. In your heart. Money becomes the highest position. Then it's idol. I read an article that long time ago, UCLA, there was one professor in sociology department. He made a survey from 1970 to 1990s. He surveyed about the freshman, the concept, what is the most important thing in your life. In 1970s, almost two-thirds of them consider the most important thing is live a meaningful life. But not until when he reached to the 1990s, the trend reversed. About two-thirds of them, freshmen, the most important thing is what? Make a lot of money. I think most of the freshmen in university nowadays, all their mind is money, money, and money, right? and it's become idol. No. But when you look into the gold calf, right? They say, oh, Israel, this is the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt. What does that mean today? We have to be very watchful. Oh. In the church, yes, we build a, we build the chapel, you need to have money. That's just here's borrow, spend more than 2 million, right? And right now, Irvine is going to spend more than around 2 million to a second phase. And right now, Dallas Church is planning to have a build a new chapel, right? The original projection of budget is 2.5 million, right? So we need to have money so the chapel can be built up, right? But if we continue to emphasize on the money unconsciously, oh, what is going to happen? In the church, the most important thing is money. If you have money, you can put beautiful chapel. If you have money, you can recruit more workers. If you have money, you can arrange many different kind of programs. So eventually, we look at the money more important than the power of God. Then it becomes idol. Then the church will become secularized. No. And consequently, because we in our mind, we think money is so important in the church, then what happened? Those who can donate a lot of money will be highly respected by the most of the other members. Then it's already totally wrong. Idolize a person. Oh, treat the person who can donate more money than anything else, than anybody else. Do you know, if you look into the book of Acts, what happened? When the power of God come, right? The power of God come and move everybody's heart. When the love of God fell upon everybody's heart through the Holy Spirit. Oh, and then what? Everybody just take out their money and share everything in common. So where comes the money? If there is the power of God, if there is the movement of the Holy Spirit, and there will have money. Oh. So money is not the first priority of developing church ministry. No. It may be emphasized by the other denomination, but we should never be emphasized in this point. No. So some people say, develop the church, we need three power. What is three power? Divine power, manpower, and financial power. When we emphasize on this, in our mind, what? Divine power, the importance is one-third. Manpower, the importance is one-third. Financial power, importance is one-third. Do you agree this? Huh? Everyone is one-third importance. Huh? You don't agree? Anybody agree? Raise your hand. Nobody agree. How come nobody agree? A church have to develop, it needs a divine power, right? Manpower and financial power, right? If we don't have no financial power, then not only fast breakfast, you have to fast lunch and dinner, all right? If we have no financial power, you have no air condition, right? Yeah. If you have no manpower, nobody give you lecture, then you come here for what? Oh, so these three are equally important. Is that right? Right or wrong? These three are equally important. Is that right or wrong? Of course, it's totally wrong. If you have divine power here, right, and Holy Spirit move in members' heart, they are going to contribute the money. If they don't contribute the money, they cannot sleep. Do you know why they cannot sleep? Their conscience is feel guilty. God give me so much. God love me so much. How come the church needs money and I don't contribute the money? They cannot sleep. No. So everything comes from divine power. If you have divine power, you have everything. You don't have to worry manpower. Do you know, if the Holy Spirit move a person, the person don't respond to God's calling, the person cannot sleep. He's going to shed a tear every day. Are you going to shed a tear every day? See, they'll just keep on crying. Huh? If the Spirit of God move you, without response to God's calling, you cannot sleep. Oh. So in the church, if you look somebody just talk about so importance of the financial power, the person will lead the church gone astray. Oh. If the person emphasizes so much about manpower, we have to plan this, we have to plan that, oh, we can achieve this, oh, because we have enough manpower, then this concept is very dangerous. Oh, then manpower will become the idol. Oh, so eventually everything comes from God. So in the Old Testament, do not by might and not by what? 才能 or your talent, but by the power of God. Now you can achieve everything. Oh, so we have to be very careful in the church. Yeah? Don't emphasize too much about the importance of money. Oh, otherwise, it will become an idol in the church. Those who contribute a lot of money will become the idol in the church. It's no good for the church at all. Do you know, if everybody contribute the tithes, one day, oh, everybody contribute the tithes, the church will be so rich, do you know? If later on you earn the money, you contribute tithes, right? The church will be so rich. You don't need a rich man donate a lot of money. The church has financial power to do everything you need. Right? Oh, so the more important is everybody contribute the tithes. Oh, it's more important. Okay? So this is the second idol. Golden calf. Oh. Personal point of view, in your heart you can see money most important, then you have idol. In the church point of view, you think money can do everything, then it's idol. Oh. And God will feel jealousy. Oh. Do you know who washed away your sin? Is that money? Of course not. Right? Who died for you? Oh, Jesus Christ. So this is this another idol, golden calf. Now, if you look into the Ezekiel chapter 8, there is another idol. Chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. One more thing, huh? If the church emphasizes on too much money, what is going to happen? Church will be like a corporation. Oh, do you know what is a corporation? If you own the Apple company, right? 51% of the stock, what happened? You can decide everything, right? Because 50%, more than half, belong to you. Then you have 51% of power to make decision. Oh, so if the church emphasizes too much power, too much money, what? The church will act like a corporation. Those who contribute a lot of money, right? When they speak, everybody listen. Oh, when they disagree, nobody can oppose. Oh, then the church is not, God is not there, right? So we have to be very cautious. Now, the next one is Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for, Tammuz, right? What does Tammuz mean? In the Bible, we cannot exactly find out what does that mean? But somebody has to do some research. Some research in the Persian, in their religion, in the Persian society, Tammuz represent the god of love. In today's term, what is the god of love? The god of love represent sex. So today, what is God? What is idol? In people's heart, what is the most important thing? Sex. So they pursue the sexual pleasure, and regardless of what kind of consequence. Right? So you see, where produce most of the adult movie, do you know? In the world, where produce most of the adult movie? You don't know. Thank God you don't know, because you are very pure. If you know it, woe to you. All right. It is here. In Los Angeles. A lot of people like to watch that. Right. So in this generation, their idol is sex. Not only the opposite sex, the same sex. This is one of the idol. And 1 Kings chapter 18 talk about another idol which Elijah tried to challenge them to remove that idol. What was that idol? What was that idol? Elijah tried to challenge them and remove that idol. What was that idol? Oh, that's so famous idol. Huh? Baal, right? Oh, the idol of Baal. The idol of Baal represent what? Represent prosperity. The Baal is the god of prosperity. So you see, right now, even the Christianity, what kind of message people like to listen the most? Prosperity. The theology of success. If you come to worship God, whatever. Right now, you're riding the bicycle. Next year, you're going to have a motorcycle. If you come to the church riding the motorcycle, you continue to worship God. Next year, you're going to have a car to drive. If you drive the used car, come to the church, worship God. Next year, you're going to have a new car. If you use an American car, you worship God diligently. Next year, you are going to have the car from Germany. Something like that. Do you like to listen to this kind of message? Yes, of course. I want to drive the fancy car. And how can you drive fancy car? Worship Jesus Christ. That's called theology of success. So this kind of message is elevate prosperity higher than God. And it's become planting an idol in people's heart. What is idol? Success. Prosperity. That will become idol. More important than preaching God. You only worship God what? For the purpose of pursuing prosperity. Be careful. Do be careful. This is the trend of society. This is the culture of this generation. Idol worshiping. Pray in silence.